And that's exactly what we preached on this morning in the life of Joshua. Was Joshua, before he became a great leader, he was a great servant. And you'll find that God never uses anyone unless they first learn to be humble and be under authority. And when they're under authority, God will put them into positions of authority. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 here. We know this is the faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. And if you'll look with me in verse number 23, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23, would you stand with me if you're able to here this evening? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. And we read of Moses, of his faith, and it reads, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." And isn't that a wonderful blessing, the faith of his parents and that faith that was transferred into the life of Moses? Because they saw he was a proper child, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." And I want you to see this statement here. "For he endured as seeing him who is invisible." He endured as seeing him who is invisible. "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." And I believe as we look at the life of Moses and this key statement in his life, and this is really the heart of faith, is Moses saw what others could not see. And that's what faith does. Faith sees what others cannot see. Faith sees into the spiritual realm. Faith sees God, and that's very crucial in our world and in our society today. Is really, to succeed, you're going to have to see God. And you'll have to see God when nobody else sees him. You're going to have to walk with him by faith when nobody else walks with him by faith. You endure as seeing him who is invisible. Now, with that thought, let's go to the Lord this evening in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. And Lord, just thank you for the faithfulness of your people, and just good to be in church. And Lord, I don't take lightly. And I know that so many very busy days that we live in, and yet so important that we set aside this time to put you first in our lives, to seek you first. And Lord, just to acknowledge you in our lives, just even with our attendance, acknowledging you. And really what we're doing is we're coming here to church. We're seeing him who is invisible. And we're coming here to meet with you tonight. We're coming here to hear from you. And Lord, we so need you. We need you, God, to speak to us. We need you to work in us. We need you to change us. And God, would you have your will here at this service? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated here this evening. And what brought this message on tonight, mentioned just a little bit about it, but this past week in our Christian school Wednesday on our chapel day, asked the question to our students, and the question was something like this: "And what is the hardest thing that you deal with in living the Christian life?" And Marcus, I'm gonna tell on you here tonight. And Marcus just immediately raised his hand, and he expressed a thought that many of us, and we all think, have thought at this time. And Marcus said something like this. He said, "Well, we can't see God." And what Marcus is saying is we know he's real. But sometimes you wonder, where is he? You ever wonder, where is the Lord? Or you ever wonder, Lord, why didn't you hear my prayers? Or Lord, do you really care? Or Lord, I prayed this for so long, and I haven't seen the results. Or, you know, where is God? Does he see everything? Is he everywhere? And of course, we answer that, and we know the answer to that. But there are times in our life we wonder, where is the Lord? And we can't see the Lord. We don't know, though we do know, but we don't know that he's there. And so sometimes we have those questions and those wonders. And so that was a great statement that Marcus made. And what he was doing is simply dealing with the thought that we all go through at times. And so those are questions that sometimes we've asked, sometimes we've looked at. And so as we look here, the Christian life is a walk of faith. We receive Christ by faith, or by grace, or you're saved through faith. that not of yourself. And so we come into the Christian life through faith. And the Bible says, as you have therefore received him, so walk ye in him. We've received him by faith, and we're to walk by that faith. The Christian life is a walk of faith. And that's definitely the life of Moses. By faith, as we read through the life of Moses, he rejected the world's people. You go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And Brother Haynes did a tremendous job as he preached through this passage of Scripture. And he's dealing with Moses. And when he came to that place and that time in life, this was quite a choice, quite a decision that Moses made. And choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so we read of Moses, of his faith, because he saw God, because he walked by faith with God. He rejected the world and the people of the world, and he chose to follow the people of God, though he knew that to follow the people of God, he would suffer with the people of God. And who you identify with reveals who you are. Birds of a feather flock together. And you'll find that those that know the Lord delight in being around those that know the Lord. And I believe that was the heart and the life of Moses. Moses identified with God's people. And you know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wasn't at home in the pig pen. That's not where he fit. He didn't belong in the world. And we read in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yet to reject the world and to reject the people of the world. And when we say reject the people of the world, we're simply saying we identify as a Christian with God's people. We feel we're at home amongst the people of God, amongst the saints of God. And we're not at home in the pig pen. But to do that, you have to see the invisible God. You have to realize that God is real. We see of Moses, by faith he rejected the world's pleasures in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We've often said that sin can be pleasurable, but the pleasures of sin soon come to an end, and the wages of sin is always death. And so we read of Moses that he rejected the world's pleasures. Why? Because he saw him who is invisible. And then we read of in verse 26, by faith he rejected the world's possessions, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He understood that the treasures of Egypt were short-lived, that all the possessions and riches of the world will come to an end. You can sing, as the song says, take the world and its riches, but give me Jesus. And I'd rather have Jesus than all the riches and gold and silver of this world. And that's what Moses came to this realization. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses looked at this thing long term. Many people, because they do not see God, they do not see him who is invisible. All they can see is the glitter of the world, the glitter of the riches, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of wealth. And that's all they see, not realizing that that wealth, those riches, will one day come to an end. It comes very quickly to an end. Only what's done for Christ will last. But Moses saw him who is invisible. He looked at this long term. He's like Jacob. Jacob looked at the eternal blessings, and Esau looked at the temporal. Esau looked at a bowl of soup, and he sold the birthright for that bowl of soup. And Jacob looked to the birthright. Jacob looked beyond the temporal because he saw him who is invisible. And he looked to that which was of eternal significance. So by faith, Moses rejected the world's pleasures and possessions. And in verse number 27, by faith he rejected the world's power, its prestige, its position, its promotion. In verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses went against the king. And there are times that to obey God, you have to reject authority that leads you in a direction contrary to God. And I believe that Moses was most likely in line to be a Pharaoh, or at least a leader in Egypt. And yet Moses rejected that because, again, he saw him who is invisible. I think this is also very important in verse number 28. He rejected the world's religion, the world's promises. It says, through faith, he kept the Passover. Now, Egypt was very religious. Moses rejected the religion of Egypt. It was a bloodless sacrifice, a bloodless religion. And it did not point to the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He realized the religion of Egypt was vain religion. It was religion without power. It was the religion of Cain. It was the religion of the fruit of his own works and his own efforts. And he rejected that, and he took the blood sacrifice, this picture of the lamb, the perfect lamb, the holy lamb that was slain, and the blood applied to the doorposts of the house. And where the Lord saw the blood, he passed over as a picture of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose the blood sacrifice. And really the key thought is that thought in verse 27, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses could see what others could not see. Moses saw beyond the world, beyond its pleasures, and beyond its riches, and beyond its treasures. When others saw the pleasures and treasures, Moses saw God. And when others saw the people and the power and the prestige, Moses saw God. And that made the difference. You see, that's the faith that makes the difference, that keeps you pure from the world. That's the faith that keeps you on target serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the faith that keeps you faithful even in the midst of difficulties. You see, when you face the difficulties like Moses, you need to see God. When you face the opposition, you need to see God. When you face the turmoil that would come against him in the wilderness, you need to see God. That made the difference. And that's what will make the difference in your life. What do you see? Who do you see? By faith he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I want to give that just as the basis tonight for our thought and just to look at some things that I hope can be an encouragement to us. And as we look at this faith of seeing God, it's very clear we see God through eyes of faith. No man has seen God. You haven't seen God. You haven't audibly heard the voice of God. But we see God through eyes of faith. And that's what the faith chapter is all about. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. It reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but what does it say here? The evidence of things not seen. I haven't seen God, but I have the evidence of God. I haven't seen God, but I see God. That's what Moses would say. For by it, by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. He says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. None of us were present at creation. And yet through eyes of faith, we believe in creation. We believe in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We believe that God made everything from nothing. We believe in a God that spoke the world into being. We see through eyes of faith. And we go to verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, you see God, through eyes of faith, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, this was the case in the lives of those listed in this hall of faith. You look at the life of Abel, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being yet dead yet speaketh. Why was Abel able to offer a blood sacrifice? Why did he offer a blood sacrifice? He did so because he saw him who is invisible. And he saw the living God. And in that living God, he saw a blood sacrifice, the testimony had been given of a Christ, a Messiah that would come. And by faith, Abel looked ahead and saw what others could not see. He saw what Cain could not see. We read in that hall of faith concerning Enoch in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch saw in a wicked world the invisible God. As the world all around him was growing more and more wicked, here's Enoch walking with God in the midst of this wicked world. He saw him who is invisible. And I think here's the testimony and the picture of a coming rapture. And the Lord translated him. Simply means God took him to the other side. He crossed the river, and he did so by faith. Noah, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, and notice this, not seen as yet. So Noah saw what others could not see. Noah saw the coming judgment. He was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah saw the invisible God. The world could not see him, but Noah saw him, and Noah prepared the ark to the saving of his house. Abraham saw the invisible God. By faith, in verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham could see what others could not see. He could see this land of promise. God spoke this promise. Abraham did not know where this would be. He did not know where he would go. He only saw God. And in seeing God by faith, he obeyed the Lord and went out. He saw what others could not see. That's very clear in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but what does it say? Having seen them afar off. Abraham, others saw what the world could not see. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you go to verse 35, all the way to the end of the chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read of the martyrs of the past. They saw God. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain without the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They could see what the world could not see. They were willing to suffer for God. They were willing to face martyrs' deaths because they saw, like Moses, him who is invisible. To please God, we've got to look through eyes of faith. To please God, we have to see what others cannot see. To please God, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see God through eyes of faith. But I look at this thought tonight. I don't believe our faith is just blind faith. I believe we have a foundation for our faith. And I want to give some thoughts as we see God, we see him who is invisible. I give you just some very simple thoughts that can help us as we walk in this wicked world to see him who is invisible. Well, I believe we can see God through creation. Look with me, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen are not made of things which do appear. We believe in a God that spoke the world into being. And there's ample evidence of that as we look about us. Creation reveals to us God. I want you to go to the book of Psalm. You're very familiar with these passages of Scripture. Very simple. But Psalm 19, as we look at creation and the evidence of God all about us. In Psalm 19, verse number 1, it reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. which is as a bridegroom coming out of this chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. See, creation has given testimony of God. It's not an accident as we look out to this magnificent world. I'm grateful for the privilege of growing up on a farm. And I could see all about me the hand of God, the handiwork of God. You couldn't tell me there was no God. And though I did not know God, I knew there was a God. And I could look out as pigs were being born and cows were being born and corn coming up out of the ground. And I could see the moon at night and the stars that would shine in the sky. And there was the testimony and the evidence of a creator all about me. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament speaks a very similar thought here. Romans chapter 1. And we read, I want to pick up at verse number 18. Romans 1 verse number 18 reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Notice the statement, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." God has revealed to every person that he's God, and he has showed it unto them, "for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Now, Moses saw him who is invisible. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, the Bible speaks of creation that it is a testimony to all the world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that has entered into this world has that testimony of creation that has been written in the heavens. And every day as the sun rises, it gives testimony of a living God, gives testimony of a creator. There's evidence of an intelligent designer. This thing is not an accident. We can look at the beauty of God's creation. We look at the order of creation and the stars and the planets and the moon and everything at the exact right distance and everything working in perfect order. This was not an explosion that accidentally brought all of this about. We can look at the very logic of creation. There has to be a beginning. We look at the very complexity of creation. Psalm 139 verse 14. David said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." David can say, "I look at my life and I have 600 miles of pipeline flowing through my body, and I have blood vessels and veins that take the blood throughout my body and give my body oxygen and remove the waste and the toxics from my body. And I have a body that's able to think and a mind that tells my hand to move, and I can speak and I can think." And David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you meditate upon that. You're not an accident. The fact that you can reason, you can speak, and you can think, everything points to a creator. And it's no wonder the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. I can see him who is invisible." I can take my watch and I can know just by looking at this watch that there is a creator. This watch is not an accident. This watch is pretty amazing. The fact that it's got a minute hand and an hour hand, and it keeps perfect, almost perfect timing. Have to adjust it every now and then. It's got numbers upon it. It's made of metal. It's put together in order. It's very evident this did not just come about accidentally. It's not an explosion that brought the watch into being. I know there's somebody that manufactured this and put this watch together. And so it is with creation. You see, we can see God, and yes, we look at God through eyes of faith, but it's not blind faith. And we see him through creation that he's given to us. Go with me again to Psalm 19. As we see God, we see him through God's word. Psalm 19, verse number 7. We read here, "The law of the Lord," speaking of the word of God, "is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in keeping of them there is great reward. See, God's word reveals God. In Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus spoke in John 5, 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The word of God, the Bible, it's a powerful book, and the word of God gives testimony of a living God. You want to see God? Look in the word of God. The word of God reveals God. By faith, he saw him who is invisible. Read the word of God. You see him who is invisible. He speaks to you through the word of God. He gives you direction and guidance. Years ago, we heard the testimony of a man, Rachungapandite, from India. And Rachungapandite, a missionary, went to his particular group and shared the gospel, and his father came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his father gained the burden to translate the Bible into their language. And so Rachungapandite was set aside for that purpose. He would go to college. He would gain wisdom. He would gain knowledge. He would gain teaching. He would learn linguistics so that he could properly translate from Hebrew and Greek into the language of his particular tribe. And in doing so, the Bible was given to his group. Multitudes of his people came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But the testimony I think about is his testimony, his desire, that he saw what the Bible did for his people. And it became his desire to get a Bible into the hands of every person on the face of this planet. He felt if he could get a Bible into their hands, that they would read that Bible and they would see him who is invisible through the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. I've read testimonies of multitudes of people that simply picked up a Bible and began to read that Bible and came under conviction of their sin, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith received Jesus Christ as Savior. We have in our library, our bookstore, the little book, The Price of a Coconut, and I plug this in often, but it's a wonderful story. I'm not giving the story, but in that story, a little boy bought a Bible. And he gave that Bible to another little boy. That little boy took that Bible home, and that family began to read that Bible, and they were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and brought an amazing change in their family. And God called that young man into the gospel ministry. He became a missionary, and it was the power of the Word of God. I have a little book in my office that was given to me several years ago, and an interesting story. I think it dates back even to the 1700s. There was a man in Chimayo, New Mexico, that came under a burden to get a Bible. And he traveled all the way to Colorado, and he took a great amount of money and much of his savings to go to Colorado and to purchase a Bible. And he brought that Bible back right here to Chimayo, New Mexico. I think this was the 1700s, brought that Bible back, and there were groups of people that began to gather around as they would read the Bible, and many were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we see the Lord? We see him who is invisible through the Word of God. We see him in the Bible. This Bible is an amazing book. We see the Lord prophetically, don't we? Two-thirds of the Bible originally, when it was penned, was prophetic in nature. And now we can look back and many of those prophecies have been fulfilled accurately. We see him through the Bible historically. The Bible is historically accurate because history is his story. And as we look back to the Bible, the history of the Word of God, it presents God active in the history of mankind. And you can't look at history. If you're a history buff, you can't look at history without seeing the hand of God written across history. We see him scientifically. I believe the Bible, though it's not a scientific book, it's scientifically accurate. That statement, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that's sure a lot easier to understand than there was a big bang and a great explosion, and out of that explosion came all of this order of today, and there was a little amoeba that crawled out of the ooze, and that amoeba grew a tail and became a tadpole and lost the tail and became a frog, grew a tail, became a monkey, lost the tail, and became a man. Now, that takes a lot of faith to believe that, and yet we accept by faith in the beginning God. That's scientifically accurate. That evolutionary theory is not scientifically accurate. There's nothing in the geological record that proves the evolution that is taught today to bring all of this to pass. So we see him scientifically. We see him morally. The Bible is a moral book. It presents the morality. No man has ever come with a better moral creed than the Ten Commandments. The moral code that God has given within the book. And you can find that those who have followed God's moral code have been blessed of the Lord. And those that have rejected the moral code of God have faced the curses of God. Societies that have sought to follow God's moral code have received great blessings. The United States that is now rejecting that moral code of God is coming under the curse of God. See, the Bible reveals God to us. We see God through eyes of faith, but it's not a blind faith. We can see God through the eyes of creation. We see him through God's word. Take your Bibles to the Gospel of John for a moment, chapter 1. We see God through Christ. You see, Christ is the ultimate revelation of God to us. In John chapter 1, you're very familiar, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, life was the light of men. Of course, you know the story, verse 14. And the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse number 18, no man has seen God at any time. But the Bible says the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You see, we see God through Jesus. God sent his Son into the world to reveal himself to mankind. I want you to see the testimony of this, John chapter 8, in verse number 19. John chapter 8 and verse number 19. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, ye shall seek me, shall die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? Jesus, and he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now here Jesus is revealing his Father. He says, He that has seen me, he that hath heard me, hath seen and heard the Father. Let's go forward to John chapter 14 in the life of Philip in verse number 5. John chapter 14. In verse number 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, in verse 6, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father? The Father has sent me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, Jesus said, He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Again, our faith is not a blind faith. When we trust Christ for salvation, he comes to live within us. I want you to follow this on in John 14 and verse number 15. Jesus said to these disciples, If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Bible teaches the moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that he gives us the gift of his Comforter. His Comforter comes to live with us, to dwell with us, to reveal the truth of God unto us. Take your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And this becomes so very crucial, so very important. I believe this is why Moses succeeded. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 10, it reads, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you lived after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let me just state that Moses, he rejected the world. He rejected the flesh. Why? Because he saw him who is invisible. And the Bible tells you that if you're saved, you have his Spirit that dwells within you. And thus you see God by way of his Spirit in you. In verse 14 again, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we be also glorified together. See, by faith, Moses saw him who is invisible. I love Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27, and it speaks of this fact, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The truth is this, those that know Christ can see through eyes of faith. Because he lives within you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Because he lives within you, he teaches you, he convicts you, he encourages you, he guides you as you seek him, as you pray to him. He reveals the Father unto you. Though we don't see him, we do see him. Now, we used to sing often this song in the children's ministries. Don't try to tell me that God is dead. He woke me up this morning. Don't try to tell me that God is dead. He lives within my heart. He opened up my blinded eyes and sent me on my way. Don't try to tell me that God is dead. I spoke with him today. Amen. See, Moses saw him who was invisible. That gave him the courage to resist the world and to follow God. Moses had the same testimony all about him, this testimony of God's creation. Moses could look about and he could see the hand of God and the touch of God in creation. Moses had the word of God and he could see God through the promises unto Abraham and to his people. He could see God through the word of God. But it's evident that Moses had a personal relationship with God. He could see God through eyes of faith. That gave him the courage to resist the world and to follow God. See, what you see is going to make the difference in your life. Esau saw a bowl of soup. Jacob saw an eternal birthright and lived for eternity. Most of the children of Israel could see the suffering that they were enduring. Moses could see a God that would deliver them from that suffering. Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plains of Sodom. They were well watered like the land of Egypt. He saw a business proposition. He saw money. He saw possessions. Abraham saw a land that was God's. He was a pilgrim and a stranger, and he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. See, what you see is going to make the difference. What you see is going to determine whether you live for this life, and what you gain in this life is going to be lost. And what is a man profited if he gained the world and lose his own soul? If all you see is what this world has to offer, you of all people will be miserable because this world comes to an end. But if you, like Abraham, look for a city whose builder and maker is God, if you, like Abraham, live for eternity, if you, like Moses, see him who is invisible and you walk with eyes of faith, then, friend, you will succeed. We see him through eyes of faith, and in doing so, we live successfully for God. I'd like, with that, every head bowed,